The Baseball Tonight podcast is presented by LinkedIn Jobs.
Way out of here. Oh, goodness.
This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Friday, June 18th, 2021. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York. And Taylor, I think yesterday may have been the best day of baseball this year. What do you think? With everything going on, great game in San Diego last night. You had all kinds of, you know, fun stuff going on with Ohtani and the Yankees and a triple play and Judge making a great play. You know, Jose Altuve having a great game. All kinds of cool stuff going on.
Absolutely. And I actually thought Wednesday was like a great day for baseball. So for to follow up like this, to have another great one. And I kind of undersold it when we were talking beforehand, talking about the Padres and that full house that they had. I said I got chills. I got to be honest with you. I might have gotten single tier from the craziness of the crowd. I've seen, you know, we've seen some crowds return and people going wild. But for whatever reason, that vibe, it really got me. Made me a little bit emotional. Sports are back, man. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I can hear the emotion in your voice right now. It was a really cool time. You know what else was cool yesterday? First and foremost, we didn't have any star player get hurt.
Mm-hmm. That's big.
No great star that went down. In fact, we got some good news about Jacob DeGrom. He had an MRI on his right shoulder. And according to Mets manager Luis Rojas, he came back clean. According to Rojas, the results of the MRI were examined by two doctors. Here's Luis Rojas, the Mets manager.
He is going to do his in-between start routine, you know, which is the plane cash after he throws like he did today. But we're still day by day. I mean, we want to make sure that everything's fine. I mean, we've already gone through different things because this is not the same thing. It's been three different things. So we want to pay attention to this thing now and on a day by day approach. So, you know, that's what we're going to do. Our medical staff here, our trainers, they're all over it. Jake as well. You know, he's in it. So we trust everyone, including Jake, you know, on how he feels and also, you know, the results and the prognosis that we had from both doctors earlier today.
About DeGrom, there are columns in the New York papers today saying the Mets should definitely back off him. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Teams, players are not required to give us medical information and we are not required to believe what they tell us. But what the Mets are saying is, all signs are good for Jacob DeGrom, and so hopefully, you know, that turns out to be the case. Tampa Bay's Rays pitching prospect Tyler Zambro, who underwent major brain surgery after being struck in the head by a line drive during a AAA game June 3rd, posted a series of tweets Thursday expressing gratitude for the support and care he received during his recovery. So that's great that we got positive news from Tyler Zambro. We're all thinking about him. All fully vaccinated players and staff can stop wearing masks in dugouts, bullpens, and clubhouses under the latest change to Major League Baseball's coronavirus protocols. In addition, fully vaccinated players and staff may eat in restaurants without restrictions and attend sporting events as spectators at venues with government-approved safety protocols. This came from the commissioner's office and the Players Association in a memo sent out on Wednesday night. And the games yesterday, wow. Yankees, Blue Jays in Buffalo. Bottom of the first inning, it looked like a potential disaster for the Yankees. The Blue Jays had second and third, nobody out, Vlad Jr. at the plate, and this happened.
Chop slowly. Oh, there's a situation at third. The throw is to first. Now they'll throw to second. Runners are hung up. They're going to come home with the throw. They have Simeon in a rundown. He's tagged out. Throw to third. It's a triple play. They pulled a triple play. Second one of the year, and this one falls under the heading of funky.
It was absolutely funky. A triple play. The scoring on it, 1-3-6-2-5-6. That sequence was the first time that specific combination was used in any of the 726 triple plays in Major League history. So for the Yankees, a big Houdini act in the first inning. They were trailing in the bottom of the sixth inning. The Blue Jays at the plate when this happened.
High drive, right field. Going back, Judge on the track, leaps, and he makes the play. What a play by Judge. Getting back to first is Grichuk. He took a two-run home run away from Kevin Biggio.
Michael Kay and the Yes Network. Yeah, so sometimes when they talk about home run robberies, you don't really know for sure. In this case, 6 foot seven, Aaron Judge absolutely took a home run away. Top of the seventh inning, Giancarlo Stanton came to the plate.
Driven deep to right field. That ball is gone. See ya. A two-run home run the other way. And the Yankees retake the lead 5-4.
And they would go on and win the game 8-4. It's Citi Field, the Cubs and the Mets, in what has been a terrific series. And Javier Baez gave the Cubs a jump start in the top of the first.
Here's the 0-1 to Baez. Swung on, hit in the air, deep center field. Back goes Pilar to the wall. Gone. Tape measure homer to dead center for Javier Baez. Cubs lead 2-0. What a blast.
Pat Hughes and the Cubs radio network, Kyle Hendricks, was terrific, and those two runs stood up. Chicago wins 2-0. Maybe everything wasn't great. For the Orioles, it was a tough day. They faced the Indians in Cleveland.
0-1 pitch, Mancini one-hands it in the left. Rosario backpedaling, makes the catch going onto the track. The Orioles swept in the four-game set by the Indians, who take it 10-3. Cleveland hits four home runs in the game. They get six extra base hits, and the Orioles will come back to Camden Yards, and they are really happy to come back home. They've lost their last 19 on the road.
19 straight road losses that call from 105.7 The Fan. And Taylor, of course, it's been established you are a big Orioles honk. I got to say, it wasn't the worst day for any team in baseball yesterday, the Orioles losing their 19th straight road game.
Nope, because we got the Diamondbacks on tap.
That's right. The Diamondbacks face the Giants. Here was the final call in that game.
Peralta on the ground is short. Backhanded by Dubon. Throws the first in time, and the game is over. And the misery continues for the Diamondbacks. They lose to San Francisco 10-3. Their 14th consecutive loss, tying the franchise record. And their 23rd straight on the road, a new major league record.
That from Arizona Sports 98.7 FM. All right, yesterday was Shohei Ohtani Day for the Angels. He was terrific on the mound.
3-2 pitch. Got him. It looked like Grossman got caught in between them. Got him to chase.
On what they're doing.
Eric Haas with a bouncer up over the middle. It's going to turn into an inning-ending double play. The Angels were in the perfect spot.
That, of course, the voice of Matt Viskirjan, who also does Sunday Night Baseball for us. This weekend, we'll have the Cardinals and the Atlanta Braves. Ohtani in that game, six innings, one run allowed, and five strikeouts. In the middle of this game, there's kind of a fun moment, too. Shohei Ohtani hit Miguel Cabrera with a breaking ball. Later, Cabrera was at first base on defense. Ohtani ran to first base, and Cabrera pretended like he was going to box with Ohtani because he hit him. But that's, you know, Miggy's sense of humor. The game of the day, without a doubt, the red hot Cincinnati Reds going to San Diego against the Padres. It was a packed house, and wow, they were having all kinds of fun. The Reds had the lead into the bottom of the ninth inning, and then this happened.
Hosmer to right field, down the line, towards the pole, it's gone! This game is tied! 4-4, Eric Hosmer leads the yard to right.
Don Arcillo with that call on the Padres television network, but the star of that call, Taylor, you would agree with me, wasn't Eric Hosmer, wasn't Don Arcillo, was the fans. How about that?
Oh, they're going crazy in San Diego, man. I mean, they're flying all over each other, guys with their shirts open, bellies hanging out. I mean, it was a scene, man.
Yeah, but that was only a warm-up act for what happened later when Victor Caratini came to the plate. Yeah, that was Don Arcillo getting drowned out by Padres fans who were so excited about that win. And we'll be talking about that with Carl Ravitch, Paul and Bikides. We'll also have this week's quiz with Todd Radom. If you're looking for world-class soccer, ESPN Plus is where to find it. The best teams, the biggest stars, and over 20 international leagues and tournaments, including every match of the European Championship. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com and get ready for the Game 7 of Nets Bucks in the Eastern Conference semifinals by listening to Hoop Collective with Brian Windhorst. You can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. then tune into the game on ESPN Radio Saturday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11 ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
Jumping into the numbers. This is Hembo Knows on Baseball Tonight.
Hembo, Paul Imbecchiti, he's a researcher for ESPN. He's a big wig on the show Get Up on Mike Greenberg's radio show. I listen to him all the time when I go deliver my weekly COVID test. I get to try to pick you apart and text you during that trip. If you notice, most of those texts come in on Tuesdays.
That's right. That's exactly right. What a claim to fame.
There you go. Well, I tell you what, yesterday was such a fun day of baseball, wrapped up, at the conclusion by that great Padres comeback. You had Jose Altuve, had another crazy day at the plate. It was Shohei Ohtani day for the Angels. They actually won a game, and he was great. You had the Yankees with Aaron Judge making that great catch, and the weird triple play with the ball being thrown all over the place. It was second and third, and nobody out. And if you're a Yankee fan, you're thinking, oh, sure, here we go. It's going to be a disaster, and you get a triple play. Among those things, what's for you was the most fun?
I think the thing that is most fun to follow this year and yesterday in particular is the Padres. The Padres are a can't-miss baseball team right now. I got a text from a friend yesterday who lives in Baltimore and told me, I find myself checking the Padres schedule every single day because they're the most fun team in baseball. And I have to agree with him. That parade of home runs after the no-hit bid for a while was super fun. But the other things that you mentioned too, like if all four of those things happened in 1 week, it would be a fun week of baseball. Jose Altuve is effectively headlining the best lineup in baseball that we're not talking about enough. Every single day, Shohei Ohtani does something that we've not seen in 100 years. And the triple play in the Yankees game, I have to imagine, made our friend Tim Kirchin cringe, who continues to say that base running now is worse than he has ever seen in his life. And I think I have to agree with him.
Yeah, I've learned about Charlie Montoyo, the manager of the Blue Jays this year, because the Blue Jays are really promising, but this is the year where they're taking this step forward and some of their warts are being exposed. You know, you see really some good things and then you see some bad things. And he was pretty blunt about all the mistakes that were made. I mean, you'd have to have a separate podcast to run through the mistakes that were made on that one play. All right. But as I say, it's been a great year for the Blue Jays so far. Mm-hmm. In terms of their progress, Vlad Jr. has been unbelievable.
He is the best hitter in baseball by a mile, and I can prove it, Buster. So to go off on a tad bit of a tangent, my single favorite hitting stat right now is called deserved runs created plus Baseball Prospectus generates that stat. So not only does it adjust for ballparks, as other adjusted statistics do, but it also adjusts for the quality of opposing pitchers. So for my money, it provides the best snapshot of a hitter's total performance. Vlad Jr., Buster, owns a DRC of 170. That's 70% above average. Fernando Tatis Jr. ranks second in that metric. He's at 147, meaning Vlad Jr. is 23 percentage points clear of any other hitter in the league right now. Wow. Not since Miguel Cabrera's heyday in 2013 have we seen a hitter lead that statistic by that much of a margin over the course of a full season.
That's pretty cool. And by the way, you're talking about fun things yesterday, and you just mentioned Miguel Cabrera's name. How about that moment when he gets hit by a pitch from Ohtani, a breaking ball, and then Ohtani gets to first base, and Miguel Cabrera pretends like he's going to box with him.
I love that guy. I don't care that he can't hit anymore. He's been so good for the game. And even when he gets out, I think he's going to get a hit every single time he comes to the plate because his swing is still as pretty as it ever was.
Yep. and he will hit those milestones, 500 homers and 3,000 hits, you know, during the course of this year. This Sunday night, we've got the Braves and Cardinals on Sunday Night Baseball. Both teams trying to gain traction. Cardinals just had a nice series, but a series sweep of the Marlins, but they lost the first game of this four-game set with the Braves last night. In your eyes, what's an underrated problem about the Cardinals?
Yeah, so in a division that I think is more hotly contested than any of us expected, I'm finding it really difficult, Buster, to pave a path for them to make the playoffs unless the top of their lineup improves considerably. Here's what I mean by that. The top two spots in the Cardinals order have a collective OPS of 686 this season. That ranks dead last in the National League and was a major issue for them last year, parenthetically. Now, those two spots in the order have been primarily occupied by Tommy Edman and Dylan Carlson. Buster, there is no excuse, none, for Tyler O'Neill not to be occupying the number two spot in the Cardinals order moving forward. He's the best hitter in that lineup right now, and that's where the best hitter in your lineup belongs. What say you?
I like it. And just I just did this rapid fire interview with Tyler O'Neill yesterday. He's a player taking a big step forward. One of the statistics on him that was remarkable, you have five players who are in the 90th percentile in both exit velocity. I think that's the one, and sprint speed. And among that group, you've got Acuna, Tatis Jr., Otani, and Trout, and Tyler O'Neill.
Wow. He's
taking a big step forward offensively. And by the way, it was a fun interview, and there was a lot of stuff about him that's going to surprise you if you get a chance to see that. All right, give me your grade A home run derby, the model, the absolute best home run derby you could imagine.
This is the best home run derby, field, Buster. It is headlined by baseball's three juniors, Vlad Jr., Tatis Jr., and Acuna Jr. Those are the three most exciting position players in baseball for my money, and everyone wants to see them in the home run derby. That, to me, is an easy one. Next is also an easy one, and that's Shohei Ohtani. He remarkably has more 425-foot homers than any player in baseball this season. He needs to be at center stage in the baseball's single biggest showcase event of the year. Those are the top four for me. I also have Tyler O'Neill in my home run derby because I texted you yesterday. I think he is the strongest human being playing baseball right now. Yes, even stronger than Giancarlo Stanton. And in that thin Colorado air, I think he hit a few onto the concourse. That would be really fun. Next on my list is Jesse Winker. You know, I think he's the most underrated slugger in baseball. He's very deserving of the stage, of a spotlight like this, and I would love to see him get a crack at it. Two more names for you, Buster. Trey Mancini, I would love to see in the home run derby. His is the best story in baseball right now. What he has overcome is remarkable, and the fact that he's hitting again is even more remarkable. That's a guy who deserves the national stage for us to be able to share his story with the masses. And lastly, I have Ryan McMahon in the home run derby. He's got 16 homers for the Rockies this year. I love when the hometown team can root on their hometown guy. He might not be among the eight most deserving, but I always like that wrinkle in the home run derby. So that is my list, Buster.
Dude, you get demerits for not putting Pete Alonso in there. I mean, defending champion, he wants to do it. We love it when these guys actually want to do it. He has so much fun. So you're getting demerits on that. By the way, speaking of Tyler O'Neill, his dad, Mr. Canada bodybuilder for 1975. Oh, so
your dad was runner up for that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My dad, you know, milking cows.
I've seen your physique. You're in better shape lately. I have noticed.
That's so funny. You say that. All right. Thanks. I appreciate it, Embo.
Later, boys. Buster, keep lifting those weights, bud.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes. The clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed.
Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
Todd Radom is the chief executive of our weekly quiz. He's a graphic artist whose work can be seen on ball fields all across America, all around the world, or you can go to his website, toddradom.com. Todd, how are you doing this week?
Happy Friday, Buster. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm looking forward to ending my consecutive weeks of not getting the answer right in your quiz. But before that, we're going to talk about Forgotten Franchise for this week. And it is one of the most famous Forgotten Franchise. I guess that phrase doesn't really make any sense, but I think you'll explain.
Well, it's a little more contemporary, which hopefully makes it a little bit more accessible. So, Buster, the Seattle Pilots were a one-year wonder, an American League expansion club that declared bankruptcy and moved to Milwaukee, where they now play as the Brewers, just days before what would have been their second season in the Pacific Northwest. More than 50 years later, the Pilots are probably best remembered as the focus of Jim Boughton's classic book, Ball Four, but their 162 games in 1969 gives them a unique place in the modern history of Major League Baseball. The Seattle club was hastily organized and underfunded. They played their home games at Six Stadium, a refurbished minor league ballpark that was still under construction when the Pilots took the field for their home opener. The scoreboard had been installed the previous evening, and some fans had to wait outside while their seats were still being installed. The Pilots' demise can be chalked up to a number of factors, Buster, with the stadium issue leading the way. The team drew only 678,000 for their lone season at home, and one of the reasons why could have involved water pressure, believe it or not. When attendance exceeded 10,000, the toilets stopped flushing. A little bit of a problem there. This also meant that visiting players had to shower at their hotels. The Pilots also had no local television deal, which was certainly not a good thing in launching a brand new team. The Pilots are also remembered, at least for me, Buster, for their innovative uniforms. And these included caps with embroidered oak leaves or scrambled eggs across the visors. The club went 64-98. And they went belly up. And on April 1st, 1970, a federal bankruptcy court referee granted the team's owners permission to sell the club to Milwaukee auto magnate Bud Selig. The Pilots thus became the Brewers. More lawsuits were then filed. These eventually led to the American League awarding a new expansion club to Seattle, the Mariners, who began play in 1977. The 1969 Seattle Pilots, however, are this week's Forgotten Franchise.
Oh, and you're right. I mean, they will be immortalized forever. They have been immortalized forever by Jim Boughton's book, Ball Four. And I'm curious to see if you'll agree with me who the most unforgettable character, as long as we're talking about Forgotten Franchises, the most unforgettable character in that book. Who would you say?
To me, it's manager Joe Schultz.
No doubt about it. Taylor, have you ever read Ball Four?
I have not.
Okay, you got to read it because Joe Schultz, and I think you'll agree with me, Todd, he really, when you read the book, he seems like a really nice man. And to say that he would not have fit into this age of analytics.
Yeah, a little bit of a relic, all things considered. And, the you know, it's 1969, so it's a little while ago. And you know, you cannot overstate the importance of this book and, you know, how shocking it must have been when it came out, and, you know, just blowing the lid off of the culture of baseball and exposing things that people had no idea about. But it's so well written. It's incredibly entertaining. It holds up all these years later. One quick thing on the Pilots, Buster. I think I have mentioned this before, but I have a brother who is 4 years older than me. And for some reason or another, I inherited a dog-eared paperback of the a preview of the 1969 season from him. So sometime, you know, in the mid-70s, I'm looking through this book and I see all these major league clubs that I'm familiar with. And there is a team in there called the Seattle Pilots. And I had no idea. I'm like, what the heck are the Seattle Pilots? They intrigued me at that moment, and they've intrigued me ever since.
Absolutely. And Joe Schultz, I mentioned, he was a really nice man who just seemed like he was trying to usher through this group of ball players who he knew was terrible. Like, he knew they were awful. And so there are just so many great quotes in there attributed to him by Jim Boughton, and they all involve his favorite beer. For example, April 12, 1969, the quote, "Okay, man, up and at him. Get that old Budweiser." Once when he went to the mound to chat with a pitcher, he told him, "Give him some low smoke and we'll go and pound some Budweiser." After the game, he told his team, "Add a way to stop him, man. Pound that Budweiser, Indian. Go get him tomorrow." Joel Schultz. I wish I had met him, because he just sounds like so many great old baseball people that I got to know in the time I've been covering. All right, let's get to this week's quiz.
All right, guys, here we go. We need a win here by somebody. We need to break a stalemate.
Literally,
week anyone. 14. The Seattle Mariners.
Yes.
Have not appeared in the postseason since 2001. This team has the second longest drought, having last appeared in a postseason game in 2011. Is it A, the Angels, B, the Tigers, C, the Pirates, or D, the Phillies? Second longest postseason drought, Angels, Tigers, Pirates, Phillies.
Taylor, you going to go first?
Whew, I guess so. Angels, Pirates, Tigers, Phillies. I feel like Pirates is the obvious answer, or maybe just the most tantalizing because they stink. But I feel like let's go with the Phillies.
See, I know the answer to this one, and Taylor, you are correct.
Well, you're both correct. So nice. The stalemate continues. The Phillies.
Let's go. Oh, last... We got one right.
I got a win.
You get it right. So I guess we chip away and we go on from there. But the Phillies last appeared in a postseason game in 2011. Pirates 2015. Tigers and Angels both 2014. And we move forward to week 15. But Taylor, things are looking up. I'm optimistic.
It's not so bad. I'm glad I got a win. That's probably my first one since week one, I believe.
I will have to go back to the records. I do have a detailed record of everything, but I believe so.
Nice. Good Friday.
Elias, the Elias Sports Bureau confirms it's been a really long time.
It's all been right. A while.
Taylor's been pounding those Budweisers. It obviously helped.
Yeah, go right, pound guys. Those Budweisers, Taylor.
Don't got to twist my arm, guys.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All aboard. It's the Rabbit Train with Carl Ravitch.
The Rabbit Train is in Omaha, Nebraska. Rabbit, how you doing?
Buster, I am doing great. We are here. We have 100% capacity. We have 8 incredibly talented, different, unique teams. Some huge schools like Texas. You've got your Mississippi States. Your boys from Vanderbilt are here. We got an upstart Virginia team that shocked everybody. Elliot Avent, longtime coach at NC State. He's ready to go. The Cardinal from Stanford are here. We are ready and looking forward to this. We missed it last year, and it's great to be back. The city is open to its arms again. And yeah, this is, I'm really excited. Really, really excited about what this next 10 days can be. Really fired up for it.
Give me a sense of the schedule that you're going to be working, and also just your read on what the field is, because, of course, I'm biased. I really can't add that much.
So, read is you probably have between Vanderbilt with Rocker and Leiter taking on Arizona, who's the best offense in the country, to open things up. We'll be on at night, every night at 7 Eastern time. basically from now until it ends either next Tuesday or Wednesday. And that means not this Tuesday or Wednesday, next Tuesday or Wednesday. So we're in the middle of the country for a week and a half. They're really good. Texas can pitch. They got typical Texas big right-handers. They're really good. If you watch Stanford, you'll see two guys that threw seven innings, struck out 12. Another guy that had a complete game did it in Lubbock, Texas, which is almost impossible to win there, let alone sweep. So they're very exciting, very interesting. But you got three SEC schools. You got some ACC schools from Virginia and NC State. You'll see balls put in play. You'll see full houses. You know, the place will be packed with, you know, 40,000 people screaming. It's a youthful atmosphere. Look, I really enjoy watching the Women's College World Series because of the atmosphere, the attitudes, the enthusiasm. You'll see that here. You'll see really good defense. Tennessee's got a fiery coach called Tony Vitello. You'll see him do, you know, when they won the Super Regional, ran out and did a kind of a quasi flip somersault thing. So it's there's just good energy around the event, and always is. And having a year off, it's great to be back. So a lot of good baseball.
It sounds like what we saw in Major League Baseball yesterday, which to me was one of the most enjoyable days of the year, maybe the most enjoyable day, topped off by what happened in San Diego last night. An incredible atmosphere. You know, we did a game on Sunday Night Baseball earlier in the year in San Diego, and having covered that team back in the early 90s, to see what it's become and to see the excitement level in that city about the team right now is so cool. And it fully manifested last night because they had a packed house. Crowd was really into it. They had a ton of energy. It's an exciting team to watch. And they came back in the bottom of the ninth inning. Hosmer and then Caratini. Man, that was something watching that last night. I give credit to owner Peter Seidler, who, you know, he made up his mind. I'm not going to worry about the bottom line. I just want a really great baseball team for people to enjoy. And they did that last night.
Yeah, for the Reds. It was kind of a look. Cincinnati's been a really good story, and now they realize that wow, we haven't really seen something like this before with the, you know, with the players that the Padres have and that atmosphere, and you know, and the idea that it wasn't just Tatis. I think people forget about the Padres. Like, how good has Eric Hosmer been this year? And you just mentioned a couple of the other guys. They went all the way in pitching. Mark Melanson's closing games, his ERA is like, I don't know, 06 or 07 or something, you know, something ridiculous. And, yeah, in a year in which we've had a lot of down news, especially out there, they said he's thankfully sort of in the rubber band man, but the Dodgers have been hurt. You go across the country and you worry about DeGrom every time he goes on the mound. That type of atmosphere is generally what we see in October. And to have it in that city, I was there when the Padres were battling the Yankees in the World Series. A, it's a tremendous city. And then B, they just have youth. I mean, look, we're surrounded by juniors, literally juniors. And it's that's an enticing proposition for a sport that's, you know, that's listening a little bit. So that was wonderful. I agree with you.
So I'm going to give you a menu of three other great things that happened yesterday, and you can choose them in the order that you want. Shohei Ohtani last night was terrific, one run in six innings. Our friend Alden Gonzalez tweeted this out last night that we are 11 weeks into the season. Only 8 of 142 qualified hitters have an OPS over 950, and only 23 of 121 pitchers with at least 10 starts have an ERA under 2.90. Shohei Ohtani is in both categories. Jose Altuve is going absolutely nuts at the plate. Another home run yesterday. I looked this up, Carl, since May 6, 37 games, 37 runs, 15 homers. And then you had the Yankees in last night's game, finishing off a sweep of the Toronto Blue Jays at a time when they desperately needed that. And they pulled off one of the craziest triple plays you've ever seen. And Aaron Judge made a great catch. You know, take any one of those you want and take them in order.
All right, so let's start with Judge, because what I liked about Judge was not what he did during the game, which was great, but I thought he did an interview with Marty Rivera and a group of other reporters before the game, and in a sense absolved his manager from taking the brunt of responsibility for the team's lousy play. And look, they've been lousy. They've been they've been lazy and they've been lousy. And he said, look, I am the leader of the team. You generally don't hear that a lot from players, and I thought it was wonderful. I'm the leader of this team. It's on the players. It's silly to think that the responsibility of our play should fall solely on the manager. And I need to step up. I need to drive in the big run. And lo and behold, he went out and performed like the leader of the team last night. Coincidence or not, he made the great play in the field, but he spoke up before the game. I thought that was fabulous. And he pointed the spotlight on himself and the mirror he was looking right into, and he delivered. That was great, because there's a lot of times with Judge, holes in the swing, sometimes doesn't play the game because he's banged up. And I was really pleased to hear a guy like that say, I gotta deliver. It's on me. That's great. That's what you want. And maybe he's looking around baseball and seeing Ohtani and seeing the Fernando Tatises and Ronald Acuñas and Vlad Guerreros, who are willing, seemingly through their play, to be responsible for the success of their teams, the faces of their teams. It's one thing to be the face of the team. Excuse me. It's another thing to actually perform like the best player on the team. And I was just delighted to see Judge say that and then deliver.
Before you move on, I wanted to echo something about Judge. You know, one of the things that I like to do is to ask agents who know their clients very well about players who they don't represent, because they get a lot of unvarnished information. Like if I were to call another player on the Yankees or text another player on the Yankees and say, hey, tell me about Aaron Judge, there's a chance that what I'm going to get is going to be tinged with some spin, right? Because I'm a member of the media and that player is going to want to protect Aaron if it's not all great. I've asked other agents in the last few weeks, like, tell me what your clients say about Aaron Judge behind the scenes. And Carl, they talk about how he is the real deal. Like, he is really into it for his teammates. He respects his teammates. He supports his teammates. And what you saw yesterday was Aaron Judge.
Great to hear. And I know some players. We all know the manager, but I know players on the Yankees on a personal level and have said the exact same thing. Like, you would never know who he is relative to the sport. You would never know who he is relative to the team other than a great teammate. You know, if you could just peel away the number, if you could shrink him down to, say, 5'7" and have him have that same personality, you'd be in awe of how he's the teammate. And I think a lot of that had to do with how he grew up, where he grew up, playing multiple sports, all those things. So I've heard similar with regards to kicking out the younger players, hanging out in groups, so that's encouraging. Go to Ohtani, 10th start of the year, which, again, you know, the Joe Madden part of this is important in that we're all in. We're going to go for this. He's going to pitch. He's going to hit. We think he's capable of doing it. He certainly believes he's capable of doing it. So he's now made 10 starts, which is probably more than some people thought he'd make. It's great. We're not close to the All-Star game yet, so let's hope that continues. 30,000 people there. He hits. He runs. He pitches. He's a freakish athlete, and when you watch somebody do things like that against the best, it's trying to imagine an NBA player, a two-way NFL player, which is, you know, probably impossible because of the pace of the game. But not only do they do things that other individuals do on one side of the ball, he excels at both. That's so difficult to excel at both, and it's not like he's just a good pitcher. When he's right, he's a great pitcher. It's not like he's a good hitter. He's a great hitter. It's not like he's a good base runner. In this era of terrible base running, he's great, and he's fast, and he seems to enjoy it. So that would be the Ohtani play. And then you take Ohtani and Judge, who generally are larger than most of the players they play against, certainly in Judge's case. And you compare it with Jose Altuve, who, my current snapshot of Altuve this year is Yankee Stadium. He hit the home run, but prior to hitting the home run in that first series, he was miserable. It was awful. He was getting crushed. the fans were all over the Astros, and you could tell, you know, it takes a toll on him. That doesn't absolve him for what he did or what the Astros did. The point is, he is dramatically and negatively impacted by negativity. He brought it on himself. The Astros did. Cora did, etc. But to see him get to a place, at least psychologically, where I don't know if it was Dusty Baker, a teammate, what it was, it's just his abilities. Said, screw it. I'm good at this. I believe I can do this. We messed up so bad and cheated the game and cheated the system. But we're on to another scandal. We're worried now about pitchers cheating with substances. Like, just wait a year and there'll be a new scandal. Let's put ours, at least he can compartmentalize or feels that way, put it somewhere, and let me be the great hitter that I am. And so on if I'm 5'7". I said this last week. I love the Astros. I think the Astros are the best team in the American League when all the parts are right. I really do. And Dusty Baker has told us on several occasions, Mighty Mouse is the most important player on our team. That's what he calls Altuve. He's like Mighty Mouse. He's the most important player on our team, and he's showing it again.
Ravi, I gave the stats for Altuve the last 37 games, 37 runs, 15 homers, a .325 average. Guess what? As you said that, like the light bulb went off over my head. That starts on that last day at Yankee Stadium. So I think you are dead on to something that he passed through a gauntlet of some kind emotionally. I was really worried about him. You know, Jose, I mean, he is a good guy. He's sensitive. I'm with you. You know, it doesn't dissolve anything about what the Astros did. But, you know, this was the challenge for him. I thought Alex Bregman dealt with it very quickly last year. Just like, you know what? I can't change the way people think. I'm just going to go play baseball. I think it took Altuve a longer time to get through that point. And maybe going through that series in New York got him past that, because he is killing the ball like prime Altuve did in the middle of his career in the last few weeks. And he certainly, I mean, we'll see when he's when name appears on the Hall of Fame ballot, you know, what the voters think about all this and whether or not he gets any demerits. But he is a great player right now, for sure. Before you go, I want to get your observations from this foreign substance rollout for this week and you know, looking ahead to Monday when this all starts.
Look, I think we've seen the impact already. I think we've seen certain guys speak out against it. I think we've seen videos sent out by certain guys. I saw a Trevor Bauer video where he had a ball glued to his hand and, in a sense, was this legal or is this illegal? You know, this is rosin and sweat. So is this okay? Is it not? Et cetera, et cetera. I think any time that you're going to institute a policy like this, you're going to have absolute reactions and uproars and anger, et cetera, et cetera. But spin rates have gone down. We've seen some offensive numbers tick up. Whether there's a correlation or not, I think there is. But there's probably a bit more freedom from hitters in the fact that they feel like the playing field may be a little more level, and that's very encouraging. And maybe that's what leads to the offensive spike that we saw and the excitement that we saw and the energy we saw. I also may be playing a fairy tale game there to think that it's that quickly to have a connection made and psychology, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think, Buster, that – look, I hope that we're not going to see a lot of instances where a umpire goes out and a pitcher is actually trying to cheat. I would find that very hard to believe. I do think that we need to come up with, and I spoke with one of the executives who's working on this problem. They are, Major League Baseball, desperately working to come up with a new baseball. But I was disheartened to hear that it would not debut until next year. So we have the rest of this year to figure this out, try to, and pacify the pitchers, satisfy the hitters. It's going to be difficult, but I'm going to go with how many times have we been warned? This is not a rollout where you try to explain to your child, remember yesterday you could ride your bike? Well, tomorrow you can't. This was, I know you're enjoying riding your bike at 30 miles an hour, but you're going to have to ride it at 20 beginning in a month. And if you can't do that, then we're going to have to take it away. this has certainly been laid out so that there's no secret what happens when the enforcement happens. There's you have had so much advance warning that I hope they'll either figure out a way to increase their tackiness, not to the extent that it becomes unfair, but they're comfortable with where they throw it. I really thought when this thing first came, as far as the letter, we're going to have pitchers saying, I need new baseball, need new baseball, need new baseball. And we were going to like delay games. Thankfully, that didn't happen. I hope that doesn't happen again. And I think if you really listen to just Tyler Glasnow's explanation, that's as much frustration in the injury as it is about sticky substances. Because if you're going to acknowledge that you have been cheating to the extent that he made it sound like he was cheating, well, that doesn't really paint you in a great light either. I do think that it's rooted in you can't take away everything we had to protect the hitter as well as improve our performance. There's got to be some happy medium, and I agree with him on that, and I'm sure he was pissed as hell about the injury. But I don't think, as he said, I'm 6'7" and throw 100. That's really what this is about. But you took away my cane. You took away my crutch. We've got to give us something to get us from point A to point Z. And we didn't really do that yet with something in the middle. And we've got to figure that out. We can't just leave him out there on an island to be the pitchers. We can't.
Well, and I hope at the end of this week and all the conversation and listening to Tyler and listening to Trevor Bauer and Garrett Cole and Garrett Richards and Rich Hill with what he said, hope it underscores the absolute need for a collaborative, productive dialogue between the two sides. And that's got to come from the two leaders. And there just simply has not been enough dialogue. And we get into these situations and players are like, wait, what? How come we didn't find the middle ground? Well, you know what? There wasn't any conversation, which is I don't get it. I hope that it changes as we move forward, Carl. All right. I will be watching tonight, as you know. I'll have my Vanderbilt hat on.
First game is Saturday. You don't have to watch tonight unless you want to watch replays of their World Series title a few years ago. We'll be on Saturday night at 7 o'clock.
All right. Thanks, Carl.
You got it, guys. See you soon.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster, Bleacher Tweets for a Friday. And before we get started, I want to preview the slate on ESPN Radio. You mentioned that game 7, 8 p.m. Eastern time, Bucks, Nets, Eastern Conference semifinals. But we also have 76ers at Hawks, 7 p.m. Eastern time. That's game 6 in the Eastern Conference semis. Then we got A's at Yankees. Tune in at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday. Bucks, Nets, as we said, 8 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. And then Sunday Night Baseball, Cardinals at Braves. Tune in at 6 p.m. for full coverage. So let's go to the tweets here. Sloop Josh B at Shut Up Joshua writes in, as long as Major League Baseball is changing the ball every season, why not commission the manufacturer to produce a more grippable ball and ban all foreign substances?
Which is what they have in Japan, which is what Major League Baseball has tried to do in the past. Carl Ravitch talked about that a little while ago. But when they rolled out a ball a couple of years ago, they basically got the thumbs down from pitchers. But they got to find something because it's clear there's some middle ground that they need to identify.
And last tweet for the week, Jarek McInnes at Cupstradamus writes in, okay, follow me here. He's got the big board up with the pins and the yarn everywhere. Yankees trade Stanton plus prospects for Story. Glaber goes back to second. Sanchez is DH that serves as a backup catcher. Rocky sits Stanton until next year when he becomes an NLDH and hits 134 homers in Coors. What do you think about that, Buster?
Garrett, I guarantee you are an excellent fantasy owner because you have a great imagination. And I don't mean this in a snarky way. Like literally, you've thought this out. But the one thing to remember, part of the reason why Stanton is with the Yankees is because he uses no trade clause and he rejected other potential landing spots. Remember, he turned that deal to St. Louis. And there ain't no way he's going to accept a deal to Colorado. he is a Yankee for life at this point, I think.
Yep, seems like it. All right, that does it for Bleacher Tweets for the week. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter as you are watching games over the weekend. Please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And happy Father's Day, Buster. Hope, I guess you're not going to be in town on Sunday, but hopefully you and your son get to do something fun.
No, it's a common theme. We'll do something on Monday. He'll dunk on me. He almost beat me in wiffle ball the other day for the first time. That would have been a traumatic event for me. That's it for today. That's it for this week. My thanks to Carl, to Hembo, to Todd, and Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Thanks for listening. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.